Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening. Welcome back. My name is Denise Bold. You're here with Black Motherhood Empowerment. Thank you so very much for joining me again. We are going to have a good time here tonight. You can reach me here on area code 347-857-2381. That's 347-857-2381 is the call-in number. My name is Denise Bowles. I am here with you on Black Motherhood Empowerment. You can reach me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just look under Denise Bowles or Black Motherhood Empowerment and befriend me. I also have a webpage address of www.boldlioness.com, and I have an email address of boldsuniversity@yahoo.com. Tonight our guest is Wahida Clark, and I really do feel that she's the queen of urban fiction. I'm still waiting for her to call in, but I just want to tell you, if you ever meet Ms. Clark in person, you will find her personality to be absolutely dynamic. She's really a people person. She really loves her fans. And right now, I was lucky enough to speak with her publicist because she is doing a book tour. She's working with her several books that she has published, and she is quite the busy woman. So I do hope that she'll be able to call in soon because the show has started. But Wahida is out here making it work, and she's bringing a different spin to African-American literature. And if you were to walk into Borders or Barnes & Noble or any of the other major stores, you will see her books there. I had an opportunity to meet Wahida up close this past winter. We went to a writing seminar together, and Wahida is right in there learning the tricks of the trade. She's learning how to do business. She's learning all about the business. And on that note, the duality of being able to still do the work and produce great books and do the background work says a lot about this person. I just met her once again at the National Book Expo here at Jacob Javits Center last month, and we had a great time again. So I do hope that she'll be able to call in soon because the show has started. And I know that she's on a book tour, so I know that she is super crazy right now, and I know she really tried her best to fit me in tonight. So I do hope that things could work out because she really has a fantastic story with everything, so with the books and her life and her fans. And I really wanted everyone to hear this story because, you know, I'm a firm believer that women have great stories, and Wahida is definitely no exception. So we're just going to keep going here until she gets on. So I do hope that she calls in soon. So we're just going to see what's going on here with the show. So I just sent off another message to her publicist in the hope that she'll be able to join us tonight because, like I said, Wahida is really busy. She is running, and running some more. And like I said earlier, she really has a dynamic story. I think this might be her on the line now. Wahida, is this you? Hello? Hello, caller area code 111, you're on the air. Oh, it's not coming through very well. Okay. Hello, is this Wahida?
Yes, ma'am, this is Wahida. How are you?
Hi, Wahida. Thank you for making it. It's so good to hear your voice again. How are you?
Crazy. Well, what can I say?
Is he running all over the place?
I'm in a meeting. I said, guys, I got an 8 o'clock phone interview. So they was like, okay, one more thing. So I just had to run on out. But it's all good. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, yes. Wahida, you know, ever since I met you late last year in person, I mean, I've known your books for a long time. You've got this personality that just absolutely, there's something about your personality that just, if I could just hug you once a week, I'll make it. There's just something about your personality. You're right out there, elbow to elbow, working and making it happen. You are just so true to what you're doing, and you have such a welcoming personality. I'm thrilled to have you on the show. I really am.
That is a blessing, Denise. I appreciate you having me.
Now, Wahida, we're on.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Good. I'm ready.
Wahida, let's talk a little bit. I'm always for women. You know, I'm deeply in love with women, and I know that you have a fascinating story about your life that just doesn't revolve around the books that you publish. Am I right?
Yes, you're right, Denise. You're right. You are absolutely correct.
Could you give us a little taste about Wahida Clark, the woman?
Wow. Okay, how do we put that in words? Wahida Clark, the woman. I'm just really just like any other woman, you know, facing the same challenges that we face as independent. I am married, 2 daughters.
All right.
Just motivated. I have a couple of businesses, and I just do what I do, you know, just juggle and multitask and just do what I do to get through.
Wow. Now, where did the inspiration really come from to write these urban stories that you write? Because they really are very, you know, where did you get the background or the exposure to write like that?
You know, once I started writing, when I first said, okay, I'm going to do this first book, I'm going to use my 3 girlfriends who I came up with, grew up with, went to high school with, and that's where the story, Thugs and Women Who Love Them and Every Thug Needs a Lady, is based out of Trenton, New Jersey, where I was born and raised.
All right.
Even in the books, I put the same schools that we attended. And, Denise, once I started writing the characters in the story just took on a life of its own, and it just grabbed my hand and my heart, and I was going. I couldn't stop, and that's how I got 2 books. When I submitted my manuscript, Carl Weber said, Wahida, this is too big. We're going to have to break this up. I said, you are crazy.
Oh, I love Weber. I love Carl Weber.
I love him, too. And I said, Carl, you are crazy. I'm not breaking this up. And that's it. We end up breaking it up, and I got Thugs and the Women Who Love Them, and then the sequel, Every Thug Needs a Lady. And I was actually the first one to start having the sequels, Part 1 and Part 2, and then Part 3 and Part 4 and Part 5. That's how that came about.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, I'm in my mid-40s, and, you know, there was always the tales of Iceberg Slim, and, you know, Donna Guillaume's wrote back in the 70s. The early 80s, we had a little bit of that urban lit going on. But now, you know, it's very interesting to see how the women have really taken over this avenue of storytelling.
Yeah. Yes, we have. And look, real quick, on the Iceberg Slim and Donald Goins, in junior high school, with those same 3 girlfriends I'm talking about in the books, my mother in her bedroom, she had a bookshelf. It was over, you know, over her headboard, her bed, and before we went to school, they was like, go ahead and get some books. So I said, sneak in her bedroom, grab the Iceberg Slim and Donald Goins books off of the bookshelf, and we sneak them in my book bag, and we take them to school, and me and my 3 girlfriends, we'd be in the back of, supposed to be singing a choir class, we'd be in the back reading Donald Goins and Iceberg Slim.
Oh, my gosh. There it is.
Yes, ma'am. So those
wow.
are classics.
Wow.
Those are classics.
Yes, they are. Yes, they
the
are.
Women,
and now,
go ahead.
How to see this transition of the females now who are the authors? Yourself, Nikki Turner, Niori is another
I love
one. Kiki Swanson.
I love Kiki Swanson. Yep.
Yes, excuse me, Swinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how the women are just stepping up, and it's like pow, 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 and I'm like, wow.
Well, you know the black woman. Once we do something, we do it. It's just in our nature. You know, we are the queens of the planet Earth. We can't help ourselves.
So, oh,
yeah.
I know. And now, how many books do you actually have in print now?
In print, it's 7. Golden Hustler will make it 8 in October.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about Golden Hustler.
In the story, What's Really Hood, you know, that's a new anthology that just came out this month, What's Really Hood. It's 5 short stories. It's me and 4 other authors. My story is called Making Ends Meet, and the character, the female character, is Nina, the main character. And Nina Coles, in in Making Ends Meet, she's in Trenton, New Jersey. Then she relocates to Georgia to get a brand new start, so-called clean slate, and that's the book, The Golden Hustler. So I take her out of that short story in What's Really Hood and move her into The Golden Hustler.
Okay. Because, you know, yeah. There's a rap song out there, I'm a Hustler. That's what I keep thinking about
okay.
when I hear.
All right, and she's a hustler.
Okay.
She's a hustler. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I have to admit, I don't know if you've noticed the dynamics of the bookstores, but the bookstores have really pushed aside the traditional African-American literature, and really the urban lit fiction has dominated now. I mean, it's in storefronts, it's in the front window, it's on the front shelf when you walk in for the African-American. This is it. How do you feel about that?
Well, with the major bookstores in any business, is all about the money. And
yes.
I remember this agent who was talking to me, and he was pitching me on his services. Then I get a call from him. He said, wow, he's in New York. He said, I went to a Barnes & Noble, Wahida, and your stuff is, bam, right there in the middle of everything. And I was just surprised. I said, yeah, you obviously didn't do your homework. But also to add, when I was at BEA, I sat down with Baker and Taylor, and they said that what you just said, the urban genre is just so profitable. She said they have instructions that whenever they receive a submission, to just go ahead and accept it, because she said it sells. They have orders to go ahead and accept it. No questions asked.
All right.
It's urban. We accept it.
Wow. And that is truly amazing, because I just it's confusing a little for me, because the movies is not matching what's coming out in the books. We don't have enough mm-hmm. of those action movies and black films coming out, mm-hmm. you know, movie theaters, but the books are just all over the place.
Right, but I think the movies are going to happen. I think they're
okay.
going to happen. I was talking with another author. I forgot who it was, but I said, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we went back to the, how do you say the word, black, I can never say that word, blackploitation era?
Yes.
With these books, because remember those days, we was going to the movies every Saturday. We had a brand new black movie, The Max, Superfly, Dolomite, everything.
Yeah,
we had
something
new every weekend.
Yeah, I think our last stuff was kind of like New Jack City. We just had Black Dynamite last year, but that was a spoof on the old movies. But
right.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Back in the day, it was back to back, and then it just
it was.
Up. So let's hope that it'll go back to that and. That our books that's on the shelves right now can go into movies. Because, hey, to me, it's all about entertainment.
It really, really is about entertainment, because it is selling. It is selling when you walk into the stores, boom, boom, boom. You're in Walmart. Go to Walmart, there she is. Okay.
That is a blessing.
You know, so it's selling. It's out there. It has a huge crowd draw. And what is the allure? I mean, if you read... My theory now, don't hurt me now, but if you read one, you read them all. So what is such an allure for this genre of writing, Juanita?
I think it's the entertainment. You know, you go to the movies to get away, to get a break. Just be Calgon, take me away. But it's these books, take away, because so many of my readers be like, boy, when I get into, thank you, Juanita, when I read one of your books, it just takes me away.
Okay.
People, they say that in the streets, and the letters I get from the prison, it takes me out. Your books help me get through my bed. It just takes me away. Yeah.
Now, speaking of prison, if I remember my readings correctly, Nikki Turner did serve time, and she wrote about her experiences. Am I correct?
Nikki, what did Nikki do? She did a couple of months. She didn't do a long stretch.
Yeah.
It was just something that she had to take care of.
That's not your case scenario. You're not writing from that type of experiences, are you?
No. Mm-mm. But even though one of my characters, Jazz, well, she did a little bit of time, and my books aren't based about jail, but, you know, I throw some jail in there, but they're not based on time. Even though I did 9.5 years, I'm not talking about the time.
Oh, so you yourself served.
I'm telling the story. Yeah, I served 9.5 years in federal prison.
Okay. And for what?
Denise, I thought you knew that. Yep, I did. My sentence was 10.5, but, you know, you get good time and stuff. I end up doing 9.5. I came home.
Okay, and for what charge? What did they charge you with?
Mail and wire fraud and money laundering.
Okay. So you were a hustler.
Yes. And the book, The Golden Hustler, it talks about some of that stuff.
Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. You've done that. That's between you and the Lord. I still adore you. And if every time I see you, I'm going to run over everybody to get my hug in, so I don't care.
You sure do, Denise.
So that's okay with me. But now, Wahida, you know, you own a publishing house as well, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. I sure do. I own a publishing house, a printing company, as well as a catalog, book and greeting card catalog company. All three of those came from me being in prison. They were all spawned while I was in prison.
Really? How did
you
do that? Because my fascination is you took something that a lot of people would have said was detrimental and completely catastrophic and unfortunate, and you made it prosperous. You made it golden. You hustled it.
Yes, ma'am. I had to. The publishing company, Wahida Clark Presents Publishing, started because once I got my first publishing deal and my book started circulating throughout the prison system and hit the Essence bestsellers list while I was in prison, other inmates, they started writing me. They were saying, Wahida, how did you do it? I'm locked up. I have a book. How did you do it? Show me how to do it. They start sending me manuscripts while I was in prison. So I started reading these. Yes, they did. So much so that the prison, they called me down to the lieutenant's office and said that I was running the business. They took away my privileges, stopped my mail.
It was crazy.
But I started getting manuscripts, and I said, I will be starting my own publishing company as soon as I get home. So I did my business plan. When Martha Stewart came through, I was at the prison when Martha Stewart came through. I showed her my business plan. And she gave me a little bit of advice. When I came home, I just did what I started out to do. And then on top of that, as soon as I came home, when I was used to getting fan mail and writing everybody back. So I'm like, well, writing everybody back with just a stamp, just one piece of paper and a stamp? That doesn't make sense. So I said, I have to be selling something, promoting something. So then I put together WahidaClark.org books and things. I know everybody in prison likes greeting cards and books, so I sell greeting cards and books. I have a catalog that go throughout the prison. So that's the second business. And some people, they don't want to go with a traditional publisher. They say, well, I want to publish my own stuff, keep all my own rights, but the printing and all the other stuff, I can't do all of that. So that's where my third company came in, Green & Company Printing and Publishing. So all that.
All right.
So that's how that works.
I'm sorry, but my jaw hasn't been picked up back to my mouth yet, because that's a phenomenal story. That's an empowering story. That's why I wanted you on my show tonight, because women need to hear of a woman like yourself that turned a situation like that, 9.5 years in federal prison, into an enterprise, which is what you have now.
Yes, ma'am.
This ain't no joke, listeners. Wahida is doing it.
And what's in me is in you, black woman, and other women who are listening. It's in you. The same thing I did, you know, just a matter of, you know, when you do time, you do the time, don't let the time do you, and don't waste time. That goes for people that's in prison, and also there's people out here. You know, don't waste time. We only live once, and, you know, you just got to do what you got to do.
Yes. So you set up this entire business inside, and you use something that is agreeable to everyone, literacy, reading, books.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, books are a wonderful tool. I mean, I thank God for whoever discovered and incorporated books.
Yes.
I mean, I love a book.
So do I. I said, I'm a book junkie. Even when I go around the country doing book signings, it's crazy because every time I go into the bookstore, I have to come out with a bag of books. I just can't help
it. You saw me at that national convention. You saw how I was running around with those free books. I was crazy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that is so very empowering. And what happened with your two daughters while you were serving time?
Thank God for family.
Right.
I'm the vice president of a nonprofit organization called Prodigal Sons and Daughters. It's a mentorship training for ex-offenders and also, you know, anybody with an X in front of their name, ex-addict, ex-prostitute, ex-pimp, it doesn't matter. We have it's called Prodigal Sons and Daughters. We have a 12-week extensive mentorship training program. And both of my daughters, well, they're in college now. They are mentors for the organization. And they just was hanging in there. And it's weird because on my way to prison, my husband, he was on his way out. So when I came out, I mean, when I went in, he was coming out.
So, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh,
so
fascinating story with you.
When I left, he had to take over.
Yes, and he did too, didn't
he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Wow. So he just went ahead for 9.5 years, just raised his two daughters and didn't
about it. He had to take over.
All right.
He had been locked up just about all their lives, so he had to step up to the plate. Yep.
Yeah, now that's a Father's Day story. I may have to tap you to get to him so I can interview him, too.
Yes, you know what? You have to interview him because he wrote the book, Uncle Yahya, 21st Century Man of Wisdom. Did you get a chance to read
it? I have that here. So I will definitely hook up with him because another story that men need to hear, that you don't need all of this guidance. You just step up and do what you have to do.
Absolutely.
Get it done. That's all. We don't have to sit here and have classes and this and that. Just get up and do what you have to do.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Yeah, but I have that book. That's the next book I'm reading now. So
okay,
I will be
in
touch with you about that one.
Great.
But now, Wahida, what do you see is going on out here with African-American writing and publishing in general? What do you see is happening? Do you see things growing or do you see things shifting? What have you observed?
Oh, my gosh. That is a question that we talk about often. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? Is it going to just take a turn and just do a big boom? Or is it just going to stay stagnant? Denise, that is a question that I'm watching closely. I'm watching the trends closely to see what's going to happen because I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Now, are your books e-books too, like electronic books as well?
Not the ones that I published. I'm working on the ones that I published, but of course mine are because I'm with a major publishing house and, you know, they have the capital to, you know, go all out. But I'm working on getting my books, e-book. Of course, the ones that I publish are on Kindle and whatnot, but not in e-book form as of yet.
Okay.
But we have to embrace that technology.
Yes, well, if that's where it's going, then you certainly have to look into it. Now, you're an independent woman. You look like you're the person who just goes and gets the job done. What was it like to now have to pull back and work as a team with the other contributors to your book, you know, who also put in stories to this latest project you have? What was that like?
What's really hood? Again, I did that while on the inside. I don't even remember what made me say, okay, I'm going to do an anthology. And I drafted my little flyer, I sent it home, had them type it up and hook it up, and I started sending it out, had my family send it out to the prisons. And, of course, I got a lot of submissions, a lot of short stories. But what's unique about What's Really Hood is the contributors. They're all in a lane of their own. These are not just average. These are heavyweights like Victor L. Martin. He wrote for Triple Crown. He wrote A Hood Legend and Menage's Way. He has a huge fan base. LaShonda Teague. Her husband is the guy, Kwame Teague, also known as Dutch, who penned Dutch for Terry Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And so she got a lot of help with her story. Bonta, he was featured in Feds Magazine. Sean Jihad Trump. He was also a pen pal of mine. Did 7 years in prison. And his story, so far, that story is blowing the reviewers away.
Oh my gosh!
Each one of these authors are, hey, they're heavyweights. They're heavyweights.
All right.
I had to keep up with them.
Okay.
Keep up with them. So that wasn't a problem at all. Yeah, I had to keep up with them to make sure my story is up to par, to match theirs.
I think this is what it is. I can't exactly put my finger on it about you, Wahida, but you did your time. You come out here. You are something else in your personality, but you are not broken. You are not defeated. You are not changed by that experience. I think you were too busy in there working and hustling to make it work out for you.
You hit that right on the nose, sister. Yes, I was on my grind.
All right.
On my grind the whole time. Well, you know, my husband, he's like a master at doing time. He did lots of time. And his first, he said, Wahida, when you go in, you have to stay busy. Stay busy. Do not waste time.
Okay.
So just kept pounding at him. Do not waste time. Stay busy. So that's what I did. I stayed busy.
All right.
Key to really doing time. You got to stay busy, especially with something positive. You know, some people, they do stay busy with, you know, mediocre stuff, watching TV. Everybody does their time differently. Some people do it playing cards. Some people do it watching TV. Some people crochet. Some people just do puzzles. Some people draw. Everyone does their time differently. Everybody just have to find something to do. And I just, my outlet was writing.
Yeah.
Writing and exercising.
Wow. Yeah, because you were in shape, girl.
I just slacked up now since I'm home. That's, the prison is a luxury. I'm sure Martha Stewart can attest to that because she came in. Whenever I was on the track, she was on the track. And you see, when she left out, she was modeling for the cameras because she had lost weight and got nice and slim. She was really feeling that. So, yes.
Mike, what was it like meeting the Martha Stewart?
Wow. They allowed her to do a seminar. And she had some slides and handouts on business and the trends. And that was cool. But I didn't, you know, hang out with her or anything when I needed. When I saw her in passing doing, like I said, working out. Saw her every day working out. And when she did the seminar, I attended that. And when I did my business plan, I talked to her with that. But, you know, she was doing her thing. She had visits every day. Her people was coming to see every day. Because, you know, she still had her empire to run. And, you know, she had to consult with the family. So she did her thing while I was doing mine.
This is such an amazing story. From a situation of being incarcerated, women are still able to do the job.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Shit. Oh, man. Here, you don't hear the story coming from the male perspective too often. If it's out there, I'd love to hear it because it's empowering to people.
Yes, ma'am.
This is completely 360 of what the media portrays as an incarceration lifestyle.
Wow.
You know?
Yes,
the media gives off something completely different, and it's not empowering at all.
It sure isn't. Far from it.
So you are just living a completely – I do hope that in your spare time, that you're able to go out there and talk to some women who are incarcerated and give them some of your wisdom in how you were able to cope and thrive.
Well, I told you I'm the vice president of a nonprofit organization, Prodigal Sons and Daughters. We do go to the halfway houses for women and men. We just visited a juvenile facility here, Essex County Juvenile Facility, and they had a career day. And we had 13-year-olds up to 18-year-olds, Denise. You wouldn't believe. I was like, 13-year-olds locked up? I said, what do you do? These are little babies, Denise, in a facility with locks and wearing, you know, just locked up every day, getting escorted by guards. I'm like, oh, my gosh, 13 years old. And we saw they broke them up into different classes and age groups, and we had a career day. And me and my daughter, little Wahida, we went. We did our presentation about publishing and writing, and of course, you know, we had to talk about doing time. And we go to the halfway houses, Bo Robinson, the federal halfway house. We Kentuck, where that's a state, so yeah, we go all around. We do go all around.
Very empowering, Wahida. I knew there was something about you. I just knew there was a reason why I was just gravitated to your personality. I just knew there was something special about
wow.
you. And this is a very phenomenal story. You don't tell this story. You are very much in the background type of person. You just let your books go up to the front and you smile at everybody, shake hands and talk. But you do not go into the whole Wahida story very often, I'll tell you that.
Right. A lot of people, they tell me, Wahida, you're just so modest. I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know. That's not important. I'm just too busy grinding and let the work speak for itself.
And it is speaking because, like I said, when you put up your boots and, man, people are flocking. Are you going to be at the Harlem Book Fair this year?
Oh, of course. We are looking forward to it, and I'm working on something special, Denise. So hopefully
All right.
it pans out, and make sure you visit our booth.
I sure will. Now, I understand you have an upcoming appearance on June 19th. Where are you going to be at?
June 19th? I'll be at Borders and Valley Stream Mall. But this
All
weekend,
right.
I'm going to Dallas Friday and Saturday. I'll be at the Dock Bookshop in Dallas, Fort Worth. So this is my first time going to Dallas to do a signing. So all you people who are on Facebook who always say, when are you coming to Dallas? When are you coming to Dallas? I'll be there this weekend at the Dock Bookshop on the 11th and 12th. Then next Thursday, the 17th, I'll be at Philly, Black and Nobel Books and Horizon Books. And then the 19th, right, Valley Stream in New York. Absolutely.
All right. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Very good. Excellent. 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 You are, like I said, you are going, gone. Oh, Lord.
I've been waiting very long for this, Denise. I was waiting very long for this.
Well, you were patient, and you also were methodical. You were focused, and you knew that it was going to come, okay? 9.5 years is a long time. That is nothing to sneeze at, okay? That's nothing to make light of, okay?
You are not kidding.
But you really sat on and did focus work. That's some hard stuff.
Gosh, I had to. What I had to do was not think about the time because I was like, oh my God, 1999, 2000, 2001. And I'm like, 2002, 2000. I'm like, oh my God. So I couldn't focus on the time because that definitely kills a person if you just focus on how much time you have to do. So you just have to.
Right. Now, the other thing here, too, that I want you to really elaborate, and if anyone wants to call in, the call-in number is 347-857-2381. 347-857-2381. Wahida, as a female, as a mother, as a wife, you know, you had a situation happen to you. What was your support system like in order for you to do the things that you were doing while you were in federal prison? What was your family? What was the support system like outside for Wahida?
I had great family. My relatives, aunts, husband, sister-in-law. My family was very supportive because the good thing was, see, before I went in, I was the provider. We had three businesses. I was employing the family members.
Okay.
So everyone was working in the business that I established. So when I left, you know, they had to do what they had to do. And they said, wow, I guess we have to step up to the plate. She's gone. She looked out for us, so we're going to have to look out for her. So.
Okay. All
that's
right.
That's how that went. I had support throughout the whole bid.
Yes, yes. And that support
got tight.
Is
important.
Mm-hmm. It is so important, Wahida, because I'm a single mom myself. And, you know, my support systems with my parents and my friends has been basically the sustaining factor besides God that kept me going for 20 years of raising my son.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that is
you know,
blessing.
So
thank God for family. Family
Yeah,
is
so I say this story, and I have you to bring this out,
Wahida,
because I really want the women to understand that they have to reach out for those support systems that are there.
Right. That's
to exist.
Right.
You have to go after them.
That's right. You have to go after them, and, you know, you reap what you sow. You treat people the way you want to be treated because you never know what could happen. Because I ran across women in prison who burnt bridges so bad, their family members won't even send them a letter, won't even send them a dime because they burnt the bridges up.
Yes,
So you have to reap what you sow, and keep in mind, treat people the way you want to be treated, and, you know, you do good to others, it'll come back to you, especially when you need it.
Yes,
ma'am.
I don't know how you do it, though. How do you juggle the business side? When do you, are you disciplined enough that there's a certain time of day that you just sit down and write? When do you write?
No. This, the first book that I've written since I've been home was Thug Lovin'. And that
okay.
was the hardest book that I've ever wrote.
Oh.
The Golden Hustler had started when I was locked up, because in prison, yes, discipline. I was up at 4:45.
Okay.
5 o'clock to pray. After that, I throw on my clothes, throw on my sweats to go work out, come in and do my job. Right. Same monotonous routine every
okay.
single day. So
okay.
that was a breeze in the prison. So when I came home, you have your family, you have your children, you have your business, you have the phone ringing, you got the emails, you go to the grocery store, you pay the bills, you do this, you do that. So many distractions. I look at authors in a whole new light that's out here, because I honestly don't see how they do it. And look at Eric Jerome Dickey. Look how many books he writes.
I know.
Look at that. I'm like, how do they do that out here?
So, I don't know.
I don't know neither. So Denise, keep me in your prayers.
It is hard. I mean, I wrote
hard.
My book out here, as you say, but you
it
know, trying
hard.
To get the second one done. Whew.
Oh my gosh, it is hard. Yes.
Yes.
So
it is.
Hey, that's the challenge that I have right now, getting the writing in. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I do understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you see? Do you see any kind of like gender bias with you being a female entrepreneur, author, successful, prosperous? Do you see anything coming across because you're a female as opposed to being a male?
Not really. Not
Good.
Yet anyway. Nope. I don't see anything not yet anyway.
All right. Very good. Very, very good. I mean, it is just amazing. And like I said, I don't think that whole story of you is really
mm-hmm.
out here a lot. I haven't read it. I didn't know your story until now.
Isn't that something? And I make the mistake of assuming, oh, everyone knows my story, but
they don't.
Isn't
but I fun? Love it, and I love you, and I love the work that you're doing, because when you're meeting people, you're listening to everyone, you're so gracious, and it's
right.
just, you know, you really are enjoying your writing and what you're doing with your work.
Yes, you're making me blush, Denise.
You are enjoying it. Now, okay, we know about the Golden Hustler. What's coming up for 2011? Can you give us any little tidbits on anything?
Oh, wow. 2011 is going to be a very exciting year. I'm very excited.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, everyone is anticipating part 5 to my Thug series. That's all the emails I get, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, everywhere, in person, book signings, Thugs Part 5, Wahid. When I tell them May 2011, they faint. They're like, oh, my gosh, why did I have to wait so long? Please just
somebody
start asking questions. Just please, please, please. So that is going to be a fun year for me. And I also signed a new publishing deal for the next two books, 2011. So I am excited about that. Can't wait to see how that goes.
Very good. Very good. Now, let's pull it back a little bit. What, I mean, Trenton, New Jersey was just in the news here earlier this year with the 7-year-old who was taken to the party and something happened that was very atrocious.
Damn.
What was it like living in Trenton, New Jersey?
I grew up in Dolly Homes, which was the projects, until I was in, like, the fourth grade. And actually, we got put out of our apartment. And then my uncle and my aunt, they came over. They picked us up, and we went. They had a house on the west side of Trenton. So I moved over there in West Trenton. And the challenges were the same as any young girl growing up in the hood. You know, you think you're tough, you want to hang out with the crowd, you think you're a street kid, you know, you drink, smoke, play hooky from school. You know, I thought that was pretty tough until jail. I found out jail was more tougher than that. So,
okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just the same challenges that anybody has growing up in the hood in Trenton. Of course, it has went down. Like, I went go back to my same neighborhood, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this the same neighborhood? Our neighborhood's almost desolate nowadays.
And why is that? Why right here, I'm in New York, so are you. Why right there in New Jersey does it look like that? What happened?
It's desolate. It's the mindset of the mindset, because that's one of the things that I had. We have actually our organization, Prodigal Sons and Daughters, we was invited to go to Capitol Hill and speak on prison and reentry. And I was, when it was my turn to speak, I had told them how even in the prison system, the women are overlooked. Like, for example, when I was locked up in Arizona, they had the women in there. It was mostly women. They had one little small section. I mean, it was mostly men. They had a little small section for the women. The men always in the prisons, they have better facilities. They have better education system. They can roam around freely. The women, they always keep us secluded. We couldn't go to the library. They always overlook the women. Even when the women comes home, the women don't have the support, the mental support that they need, because the woman, they have to remember, the woman, their boyfriend, their husband, their son, their father, or 9 times out of 10, the one who goes to jail, she's left there to take care of the children, to receive, to collect phone calls, to struggle, to feed the family, to go to the prison and visit the husband and get humiliated. We go through it the hardest, but yet they don't acknowledge that. You know, the women, we need a whole support system mentally more than anything to assist us in this prison situation. And then I was also telling, like, in prison, we have little 18-year-olds coming through. These 18-year-olds, this one girl, I said, sister, get off that bed. Let's wash these blankets. Her blankets was filthy. The socks was filthy. She didn't know that when she went to the bathroom, you're supposed to wash your hands, especially if you're on your menstrual cycle. They don't
know.
Sister, where's your mother? She said, in somebody crack house. I said, where's your dad? Oh, he's been locked up since I was like, 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
18 years old. And then, okay, they're in prison. They go, and they don't know, not even know that they're supposed to keep their clothes clean, keep their little, we only have a little cell, a teeny cell to keep clean. They can't keep that clean. And these same sisters, they're getting out, and they're going home into our communities. If they can't keep a cell clean, how are you going to keep an apartment clean? Sweep off your front porch and pick up the trash in front of your house and on the curb. It just spills over. These same women are coming out into the community. They don't know.
So there's really very little rehabilitation education.
There's none.
Okay, I was being nice, but there's none.
Yeah, none. The prisons are just holding facilities, human warehouses. Just go in, and that's your punishment. You're just going to be in here, and that's it. So if you not have a support system at home or the initiative to grab yourself up by your collar and make yourself do what you got to do, you're just there.
Wow. Oh, man, that's rough.
Yep.
That is rough. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And, you know, it's something because, you know, what you're speaking about, we really don't hear a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not written up a lot. There's not a whole lot of things reported about it. You know, the highlight basically was when Martha Stewart got it.
Exactly.
And
it's a whole nother world behind those walls. A whole nother world.
That's a fascinating story, and I would love to embellish on that more, and I may tap you later on to do that, because I want to do a show that's focused on women who are incarcerated. I want to focus on the women when they come out and the skills and the outreach and the services that they are lacking that they didn't get, and meanwhile, we want to keep blaming them for recidivism and things that they do, but, you know, if you don't get the help and you say
that's
you need
the
help, then what are you supposed to do?
That's right. Yep, you're just in. If some, you're not, if you're not blessed to have someone snatch you up and, you know, mentor you, you basically, you're just there. You just come out and same way you was when you went in, or worse.
Right, right. There's no change for you. And you,
exactly.
You certainly did do that. You went through your own metamorphosis. You went in one way and you came out a completely different person.
Isn't that something? And that's why I say if I had to do it all again, I would not change one minute.
This was your purpose. This was your destiny.
Yes,
absolutely.
Ma'am. I would not change not one minute. And I'm not saying that to saying everybody should go to jail to find time and fame.
No.
But,
and we're not that you're not remorseful.
Right. Right.
Because that what you did was not right. But
yes, ma'am.
At the same time, this happened for a reason because it changed
exactly.
your life. It put you in a totally different path.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
Yep.
Very powerful, Wahida. And I'm just so grateful that you came on the show because this story had to come out there. We had to talk about the story, you know.
Fantastic. It is a blessing. It's and I'm glad to get it out there. Hopefully at least one person will get something from it. I'm just hope I have something to give that someone can
use. Oh, I see. I know you do. I know you do. Now, What is your publishing house right now? Are you looking for other authors who are writing urban fiction or urban literature?
Yes, ma'am.
To submit?
We're open to anything that's good, urban fiction, romance, business books, young adult, anything that is good and marketable. That's the key, marketable.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Sounds
that's
very,
very... The website is... wclarkpublishing.com.
Right. www.clarkpublishing.com, correct?
wclarkpublishing.com. The W for Wahida.
wclarkpublishing.com. Oh, yes, Wahida Clark.
Ma'am.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very good. Very, very good. So what has been the most easiest part of this entire thing, this entire new adventure you've been on, Wahida? What has been that you said, piece of cake? And what's been the hardest thing?
Well, I already told you, the hardest thing is writing a brand
writing
new
again, right? Making more, because you know people
right.
are looking for more. You gotta churn out some more now.
Soon as I
this
do
is like
one
popping
book,
out kids.
Right. As soon as I do one book, they're like, okay, now where's the next one? I said, you guys are killing me. I just finished that one up last week. They're like, where's the next one? So that's the hardest thing. The easiest thing? I really don't know.
I think the easiest thing for you is meeting
people.
I really think you are such a natural at meeting people, and you just really love it.
guess what, Denise? And really, I'm an introvert.
No, don't say that. You can't be.
Yeah, I'm an introvert, but I'm just when I get out there, I'm just so appreciative to my my readers. I'm like, oh gosh. They're like, Wahida. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you for reading my books.
You, an introvert? You can't be. Not at the book expo, not at the sisters thing at the Javits Center late last year. Remember that? The sisters?
Yes, I do remember that. I had a ball. I'm looking forward to that this year, Circle of Sisters.
Oh, man, you had about 25, 30 people at your table at a time.
Wasn't that a blessing? That was awesome. That was
you can't
awesome.
Be an introvert.
I had fun. Yeah, I had fun. Then I had, you see all my street team around, the Wahida Clark street team.
I did. I loved
them.
It.
And I think they love it more than I do.
But you cannot tell the listeners and your fans that you're introverted because the way you get out there, I don't know where you put that other person at, but that's not the same person I'm hanging out and talking.
Well, maybe because I would love or prefer to just be able not to say anything and stay to myself, but I know I can't do that, Denise. I can't do that.
Oh,
and to get new readers, I got to get new readers.
There's
a new reader born every. I wish I had a statistic for that. There's a new reader born every what? More than every day. Every hour maybe.
Every second, there's a new reader born
every second. Oh, I like that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I went to that the book conference with you also, the Aspire one, you know, and you and I were learning some of the tricks of the trades and everything,
man,
and we were taking our notes and everything, and you were busy over there. You had a notebook yay thick, and
Yes, that was good information, Denise. That was good information. I wish my authors could have been there because so many new writers, they think that just once they write a book, you're done. But no, your work is just beginning.
Yeah,
maybe that's
just
what that was all about. It's just beginning.
It most certainly has.
Your
I'm
book
selling
is not
my book out of the
stuff,
trunk of my.
Right? Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. That's
it
right.
Is a lot of work.
That's
a
right.
lot of
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. It's a lot
I,
of work.
I may step to you and actually set up an actual proposal to you to work with some of the mothers who were incarcerated with the work that I do with parent education and motherhood empowerment. Maybe we can work on something together to help these women.
That sounds good.
Yeah, because, you know, it's such an interesting thing that society does with us, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And that is a good deed.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
But I tell you, this has been a wonderful show. I think we have, like, about 9 minutes or so left, but I know you're busy, and I'm just going to make sure that you can tell the listeners about your new book. When is your new
All
book
right.
coming out, The Golden Hustler? When is it going to be released?
The Golden Hustler doesn't come out until October the 24th of this year. But What's Really Hood, the anthology, the official street anthology, just came out last week. So
yes, and that
What's
was
really
at,
hood.
Saw that today at Barnes & Noble.
that's right. Go get that at Barnes & Noble. Go on Amazon.com or the website. Then everyone who has read it, make sure they log on to the website, wclarkpublishing.com, and vote on your favorite story and author because I'm having like a little a contest.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. That is excellent, Wahida. Thank you so much. You know, it's a blessing that you and I crossed paths, and now I call you friend and sister, and I'm your fan.
Wow.
Don't worry. I'm your fan no matter what. And I do hope that we can work together on a more serious, more intense level for our fellow sisters in the near future. But God bless you, and thank you so much for this time and having to talk to you. I really, really, I'm just savoring this conversation.
Wow, thank you so much for having me, Denise. And for those that don't know, whoever doesn't know, Wahida Clark, I wrote Thugs and the Women Who Love Them. Every thug needs a lady. Payback is a mother. Payback with your life. Thug matrimony. Thug loving. Sleeping with the enemy. The new one, What's Really Hood. And then to come is The Golden Hustler.
Well, let's talk. I have one last question now since you
sure.
listed all of them now. And you were married, you know. I don't know if you consider what you wrote as part of your marital experiences. What is the allure for women out here who say they want a thug? What is that?
Oh, gosh. That is so funny. And I get that question all of the time.
I know you do because I'm sitting there saying, well, what is it? And I don't want someone – I want you to explain to me because you and Nikki Turner, y'all all could explain that. But please, would you explain what that is? What is the allure with that?
And you know what? It depends on what your meaning of what a thug is.
There you go, girl. All right.
People like women, we just want a man that we know that will protect us.
Okay.
Best our well-being, have our best interests in heart, steer us in the right direction.
But that's not always a thug, queen. That's not always a
thug. As Uncle Yaya says, there are many ways to see a thing as there are people to see it. The world
I know, and I
so
that book is on the top now. That's the next one I'm
right.
I to get my hand because I'm gonna be tapping you.
You're gonna love that. I'm telling you
oh
now.
Oh my
Once
gosh,
you start
I can't
reading,
wait. I've got my
highlight
already.
Put it down. Yep, you won't
Ooh.
Be able to put it down, but. There are many ways to see a thing as there are people to see it, and everybody has their own definition of a thug.
Okay. I can certainly appreciate that.
Right.
It's just out here, but I do believe that a lot of the young women out here, they have the definition a little twisted.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Yeah, actually some of them do, exactly.
All right.
They do. They have it twisted. But I write about it. My thugs, most of them are, they're thugs, but they love their women. They do the things that I just mentioned. They look out for their well-being. Of course, sometimes they may go astray or fall off, but, hey, that's life. And,
okay.
You know, there's many ways to see things as there are people to see it. And people have to learn. Some people have the definition wrong, but they grow up and they eventually get it right. Most of us do.
Okay. And how long were you married, or how long have you been with your husband?
Oh, my God.
Or the man that is now your husband. How long have you been together?
My oldest daughter is 22.
Okay.
Yeah, we have two daughters.
All right.
So that tells you how long we've been together.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time.
Actually, he's my child's, how you say, high school sweetheart. I met him when I met him when I was 14.
Ooh.
Yep. He took me away from my 14-year-old boyfriend, who in the book, one of the characters in the book, he took me away from him. And, you know, we've been together ever since. I was in the ninth grade. Yep. Isn't that
okay. That is amazing.
Yep.
That's some good stuff. I could see why the fans are just like, okay, where's the next one?
Oh, man. They be killing me. They be like, Wahida. I said, guys, you got to be patient. They found out 2011, they was bombing my Facebook up. How dare you? How are we going to wait this long? This is ridiculous. How could you do this? What can I say, Denise?
No. Oh, no. I think we're going to have to clone you next. Forget the sheep. Forget the dogs. We're just going to bring Wahida in.
I need a couple of clones. That would be a blessing, actually.
You want to sit down and just write the stories. The other one to get out and manage the businesses.
Yes.
The other one to do the traveling for the signing engagements. Oh, my goodness.
That would be the solution. Yeah.
I know you're loving all of it, and I know you love your fans because I see you interact with them, and it's just wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Denise, and thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be on your show.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Please send my regards to Esther. She's a wonderful, wonderful publicist.
Okay, I sure will. I sure will. She'll be glad to hear that.
Yep, she's a wonderful person, too. So, Wahida, thank you so much. I will be praying for you. I will be cheering for you. I'm your fan. I'll be following right along now.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just got to push aside and get my hug in. That's all I got to say.
I will be seeing you around and talking to you.
Absolutely, Wahida. But thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Listeners, you've been listening to Black Motherhood Empowerment with Denise Bowles. We've had a wonderful, empowering show here tonight with Miss Wahida Clark. This woman is running and rocking and rolling, but she managed to give us a little bit of her time tonight to tell us a very empowering story about her life. Who knew? Federal incarcerated for 9.5 years, turned something that would have been life catastrophic into an enterprise that is of profit and of success, of empowering and of giving back to the community as well. That's what it's all about. So I'm very honored to have Wahida Clark on my show tonight. Listeners, you can reach me at www.boldlioness.com is my webpage. I'm also here on Facebook at under Denise Bowles or Raising Princess to Be Kings. I'm also here on Blog Talk Radio. This has been a wonderful show tonight. It's one of my favorites. Everyone, get out there and find Wahida Clark's stories, because they are really queen of the urban fiction stories, and it is a lot of fun. She's a great person. If you see her at a book convention, please make sure you say hello, because she really is a great person and she loves her fans, and I'm so happy to call her a friend. Listeners, thank you so much. Thank you for everyone in the chat room tonight. We've had a great show, and we'll talk and see each other again soon. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.